It was on this day, December the 12th, 1977. Saturday Night Fever premiered in New York City. This is going to be a great opportunity. We're going to do this next hour in the 3 o'clock hour. Great opportunity to admit that we remember the disco era. Great opportunity to talk about the most embarrassing thing about the disco era. A great opportunity to talk about how some of us are lucky to be alive today because we went through that era. And for you millennials and those of you who are younger or those of you who were not here when Fat City in Metairie was ablaze with disco clubs, you got to hear what it was like. And we'll explain that in the next hour. So we'll have a lot of fun in the next hour talking about that. Yesterday, there was a Christmas controversy with the candy cane. And we talked about that. Candy cane upside down, J for Jesus. Well, that's what one principal at a elementary school in Nebraska thought, so she banned the candy cane. She's been put on leave, and the school district came in and said, this does not reflect the attitude of the school district, so we're allowing candy canes to be part of the celebration. So now there's another Christmas controversy, and I'll get to that in just a moment, but I want to address this text. And this is just so typical of the way some people think, but I want to share this with you because I love getting these kind of texts. I said just a moment ago that President Trump's kids, Donald Jr., Eric, and Ivanka, are fair game because they're part of the administration. They were part of the campaign. President Trump brought them into the spotlight in the same way that Bill Clinton brought Hillary into the spotlight. Melania should not be a target like Hillary was a target for criticism because Melania is not part of the administration. Hillary Clinton was part of the administration. But here's a text that says, according to you, meaning me, President Trump's young son is fair game. I didn't say that. But this is, you know, this is what some people do. They sit around and they try and catch every little word, every little thing. Well, I didn't say that. So it seems foolish to even send a text like that to me. Because if you do listen to this show, you know I have been adamant about Trump's son, Barron, not being part of any criticism. Because he is, I'm going to call him a kid. He's a kid. He's not part of it. And in the same way that I said that Barack Obama and Michelle Obama's children were not part of it and should be immune from criticism and immune from cheap shots, the same thing with Barron. Here's a quick update on our Blue Runner Foods poll question. Did Donald Trump essentially hire a thug when he hired Michael Cohen? 53% say yes, 47% say no. What's really interesting is Michael Cohen has been sentenced to 3 years in prison. And all of this surrounds activities involving Donald Trump. Does this reflect back on Trump? We don't know that. But as I said last hour, you know, it's really a shame because, you know, I remember when Michael Cohen was just so brazen. He was the fixer. Why do you hire an attorney as a fixer? If you break things, you need somebody to fix it. You don't need a fixer to fix things that don't break. So if you do something wrong, you need a fixer. So I guess Donald Trump, as a businessman, knew he needed a fixer. And so he got Michael Cohen. Now, whether Trump's guilty or not, we don't know. Michael Cohen is. He's going to prison for 3 years. But he was acting on behalf of this man that he so revered. He said he would take a bullet for Donald Trump. Well, he didn't have to take a bullet, but he's going to prison for Donald Trump. So, I don't know. Maybe if you're an attorney and you have really, really rich clients, I hope you think about doing the right thing. Mainly for your kids and your family. I know it's tempting to break all the rules, but I think you have a responsibility to your family. I mean, if you care about your kids, man, don't break the rule. I mean, look, we all make mistakes, but there's a difference between making a mistake and just blatantly, brazenly breaking the law. For over 30 years, a nativity scene was placed at Horseshoe Lake Park in Woodland, Oregon. The nativity scene became part of a tradition for the people in Woodland. But following 5 complaints this year, the nativity scene was moved from public property on the park to private property not far away. Since the debate over the nativity scenes on public property goes back decades and decades, I mean, I remember talking about this almost every year that I've been in talk radio. Why was the traditional nativity scene in Woodland, Oregon, suddenly the target of criticism this year? For whatever reason, this year, a few people were inspired to make a complaint about the nativity scene, and the city of Woodland, Oregon, concluded that they had no choice but to move the symbolic Christian display to private property. And they did, not far away. The controversy over Christmas symbols on public property, of course, is not new. The First Amendment does have an establishment clause that states the government will not establish any religion. But does a nativity scene on public property, I mean, does that amount to the government establishing a religion? In the Supreme Court case of Lynch versus Donnelly, 1984, the court ruled 5-4 that a nativity scene on public property did not violate the Establishment Clause in the Constitution because it was a passive display of religion. And the religious symbol, the nativity scene, had, quote, legitimate secular purposes. But there was a Supreme Court ruling in 1989, the County of Allegheny versus the American Civil Liberties Union, and this involves a nativity scene in downtown Pittsburgh. There was also a menorah there. The ruling was that the nativity scene and the Hanukkah menorah did violate the Establishment Clause and must be removed from public property. The nativity scene in this case in downtown Pittsburgh included a sign that said, "Glory to God for the birth of Jesus Christ." So it was the message on that sign that made the difference. And it was written in the ruling that although the government may acknowledge Christmas as a cultural phenomenon, it may not observe it as a Christian holy day by suggesting that people praise God for the birth of Jesus. So two different rulings lead to some ambiguity concerning the law. So it seems like it's up to government entities to decide whether or not they're going to move something or to battle the controversy that will ensue. But it's interesting to think about why five people this year? It's been there for over 30 years in Woodland, Oregon. Why this year did they decide to complain? I'm going to continue with that when we come back on WWL. Thank God it's Christmas. That is Freddie Mercury and Queen. I try to find some of the other Christmas songs, and we play the traditional ones as well, but I try to find some of those others, and I found that one from Queen. So here's this controversy over a nativity scene in Woodland, Oregon. It's been there for over 30 years. This year, some people complained, and it's moved from public property to private property. You know, I'm thinking that maybe both sides of this debate are just too intolerant. Maybe this is another case of people using a controversy as a vehicle to say to the other side, you're wrong. I mean, people love doing that. People love sending me texts telling me I'm wrong. People love using debates now, not so much about what's being debated, but as an excuse to say, you're wrong and I'm right. And this is why my side is right. And this is why your side is wrong. This is all the manifestation of this great American divide. And so many, many debates appear to focus more on the debate itself than that which is being debated. And I think this nativity scene in Woodland, Oregon is a perfect example of this trend. The nativity scene was on public property, and there were complaints that its placement on public property violated the Constitution. So the town of Woodland, Oregon decided to address the complaints by moving the religious display to private property, which is not far away from the original location at the park. Perhaps those who complained that the city should not have bowed to the pressure to move the display should realize that the nativity scene is still on display. It's just visible from another location, not far from the original location. So the message of Christ is still out there. If the ultimate goal is for people to see the Christian display of the nativity scene, and if the display is still in view of the public, why should it make a difference if it's on public or private property? And for those who are offended at the sight of the nativity scene on public property, If the display is simply moved to a nearby location, it's still visible to you and everybody else. Should it matter if it's on public or private property? Now, I do understand the law and the Constitution. And I understand why there is sensitivity to Christian or religious symbols on public property. And laws concerning religious symbols on public property should be obeyed. But isn't the reality that those who wanted the nativity scene taken off public property didn't stop it from being displayed to the public because it's just been moved? And those who would demand that the display be removed from public property, the nativity scene was moved and they still have to see it if they drive around town. So it didn't go anywhere. So to me, essentially, this Christmas display still being in view of the public really isn't the intent of the display. It's about the fact that we can debate over this. And it just seems like this is where we are. This is the recreational spectator sport that politics and social issues have become. And talk radio is an example of the field of play where all of this plays out. And I go back to something we often talk about. I don't think the American people really want compromise. I think there are far too many people. I mean, some of us do. But there are far too many people in this country that love this debate. They love that they take pleasure in saying why you're wrong and they're right on many different issues. And sometimes they ignore facts, claiming they're right, even ignoring facts, they claim to be right. I mean, that's how bad it's gotten in terms of people wanting to say they're right about something. They don't care about the facts. They don't care about reality. They just care about whatever it is that they can use. That doesn't have to be a fact. Well, I think it's a fact. I'm going to believe it as a fact. So I'm going to say it's a fact. I'm going to believe it as a fact when it's really not a fact. If that's what they get to say, if that's what they say, that's what they say to themselves when they get a chance to say, you're wrong. And I'm right. And that's what this, to me, that's what this is all about. I mean, this is absurd. I understand the Constitution. I understand, I'm not a constitutional expert, but I understand this aspect of the Constitution and the Establishment Clause. But what I don't understand is that, you know, neither side really lost, neither side really won. Because the nativity scene was just technically moved from public property to private property, but it's still there. And so, because you get the impression that people who protest nativity scenes on public property, that they're offended by the sight of a Christian symbol. And if you're offended by the sight of a Christian symbol, you're not getting rid of it. It just moved down the street. So what difference does it make? It's still there. And then this really goes back to the idea that, you know, at what point in your life, or who was it that taught you that you're going to go through life and you have a right to never be offended? I see things that are offensive to me all the time. I don't let it bother me. I mean, of course, some things, you know, need to be talked about. Litter bothers me. I mean, I've talked about that a lot. I'm offended by litter. But I'm talking about political and social issue things. I mean, I don't have to agree with everything. It doesn't affect me. But there are so many people in this country now that take pleasure in telling somebody else or telling each other how to lead their lives. That's what this really is about to me. You can't have that. I'm telling you, you cannot have that on public property. That gives me power because I told you, you can't have it there. You've got to get it off that property. But then it goes up somewhere else, so it's not invisible. If you want to join us with your comment, our number is 260-1870, area code 504-260-1870, and our text is 870-870. Here's a text that says, I guess the Christians should get over it, right? I don't know what that means. What do you mean Christians should get over it? I don't even know what that means. Here's a text. Sometimes you're right, sometimes you're wrong. Well, I mean, again, of course, that's a fact. I mean, nobody's right all the time. And for the most part, I mean, there are a few exceptions. But for the most part, people aren't wrong all the time. From Mandeville, Debbie, you're on WWL.
I just want to make a comment about what you just said about people being offended by the nativity scene. And I don't agree with trying to take it off. I'm not that party. But I don't think that people want it off because they're offended by looking at it. I think they want it off because it's public property and the public is paying for a religious symbol. I mean, if you move it to private property and the public isn't paying for it. I don't think they're offended. I think they're offended by the idea that the public is paying for it.
Well, I totally understand that argument, Debbie. Over time, I've come to gain this impression that there are people who don't want to see it. And then, you know, recently we talked about the Christmas tree, the menorah, and the statue of Satan up at the Illinois State House. Because if you allow two religions, you have to allow the other. So Satan is up there. I'm Scoot. We'll be back. All right. I'm going to play another part of this song going into this next break. And Bono sings this one part in this song. I talked about this last year because I really didn't notice this until last year. But I'm going to play a part of the song, Do They Know It's Christmas by Band-Aid. Sung by Bono going into this next break. And I bet if Bono had to do it over again, he would change this line because it's horrible. I mean, I get it, but I think it's a terrible thing to say. Anyway, I'm going to play that for you and you can decide. Maybe I'm overreacting, but I mean, in the context of the song, I mean, I don't think it's a big deal, but in the context of the song, it's like, I can't believe they said this. Here's an update on our Blue Runner Foods poll question. Do you think nativity scenes should be allowed on public property? 80% say yes. 20% say no. Give us your opinion by going to our website, WWL.com. Here is a text that says, the issue is that it's on public property. Before citizens' property is... Oh, by being on citizen property, it's a win. The whole point is that it's on public property. I mean, I understand that, but here's my point. Okay, so... I get that it shouldn't be on public property, but, you know, there is this sense that, and maybe this comes from Christians. Maybe Christians think that people who want this off public property want it to disappear because it doesn't disappear. It just goes somewhere else. And so getting it off public property, I get that. I mean, I totally understand that. Constitutionally, I get it. But it doesn't disappear. And some people are so sensitive about this alleged war on Christmas, and I say alleged war on Christmas because it is an alleged war on Christmas. It's made up. Nobody's taking Christmas away from you or me or anybody that wants Christmas. And I can't imagine what the scenario would be that you would tell me that somehow the government robbed you of Christmas. Because in your life, you can have Christmas. It doesn't mean you can have religious Christian symbols, Christmas symbols on public property, but that doesn't rob you of Christmas. And my God, if that's what you base Christmas on, you really don't know what Christmas is all about. Madeline from New Orleans, you're on WWL.
Hi there. I just wanted to make a quick comment. I really enjoyed listening to your program. We're looking forward to hearing about that city, but I wanted to say that it's more the issue, to me at least, that public property is an extension of our community as a whole, and our communities as a whole represent so many different religious affiliations, and I think most people, regardless of affiliation, don't want it to go away, and that's really just what I wanted to say.
Well, no,
it will never disappear.
Yeah, I get that, but in this particular case of the nativity scene in Woodland, Oregon, I couldn't help but step back and think, okay, wait a minute, it was here, and now it's here. So I understand that it shouldn't be on public property, but if anybody wants to make it go away, it's not going away. And for those who think that removing it is part of the war on Christmas, well, they didn't win the war because it's up just not far from the original location.
And I think the only thing I would say to that is a very, very good point, but I think there really is less of a war on Christmas than we think. And I think people maybe want to make us think that it's about someone wanting it to disappear when really the heart of it is just where is its place? Yeah.
Madeline, I agree with you. Glad you are part of our afternoon audience. If you want to join us, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. Here's a text that says, people who are offended that easily probably got participation trophies for showing up and not working for it. Maybe we should all be offended at the demanding attitude. Here's another comment that says, the argument of those who wanted the nativity scene moved is that it's on private property, visible land, public tax monies are not being funded for the display. Well, you know, if you just put it on public property, that's not costing anything. If a private group or if a religious group takes care of all the expense of setting it up, the city's not paying any money for it sitting on property. But it is city property. So again, I mean, I totally understand why it shouldn't be there. But in the bigger picture, it didn't disappear. Nobody made it go away. It simply moved. And I want to tell you why the City Hall Living Nativity scene has been canceled. I'll get to that here in just, yeah, they canceled it. I'll get to that here in just a few minutes. Okay, here's the song of Do They Know It's Christmas that I want you to hear. I want you to listen to what Bono sings, and it's about starving children in Africa. Listen to what he sings. What? All right, he said, tonight, thank God it's them instead of you. I mean, in the context of a song that was about raising awareness of people who are starving to death in Africa, it just seems a little inappropriate that you're thanking, oh my God, thank you. I'm glad, dear God, thank you. I'm glad they're starving and not me. I'm Scooge. We'll be right back on WWL. Man, that is just such a Christmas classic. In fact, we're gonna go into the next break with another segment of that. Between now and Christmas, I'm gonna do a couple of consecutive segments of Santa Claus and His Old Lady, because you know what a great classic. Here's an update on our Blue Runner Foods poll question: do you think nativity scene should be allowed on public property? 76% say yes, and 24% say no. Give us your opinion by going to WWL.com. So the city of New Orleans has canceled the living nativity scene for this year. And the reason is they couldn't find three wise men and a virgin. For Metairie, Ed, you're on WWL.
Yes, sir. How are you doing? Shifting from politics to the disco era.
Okay.
In 1977, you and I are about the same age. There was some late night comedian. I forgot who he was. But he said, you know, people that did a serious study, they did a study of polyester leisure suits, and they put them on mice, and it caused an increase in mouse cancer. Now, I told this to people that I was working with who wore leisure suits. They believed that this was true.
It was fake news. You know, Ed, I remember there was a TV show called Fernwood Tonight.
And I had like a yellow mustache, and he started that, and he wouldn't believe I worked at the phone company, and I was in my late 20s, and all these people said, you mean to tell me that mice had cancer from polyester leisure suits? Yeah, dude, why don't you quit wearing them?
Yeah, exactly. They were trying to spread this, you know, fake news. See, there was fake news back then, this fake news that leisure suits cause cancer. Now, honestly,
I don't wear polyester anymore.
Well, yeah, I mean, I never wore a leisure suit, but I have to admit, I did wear some polyester, some hip huggers with a wide belt and bell bottoms and platform shoes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're going to talk more about that in the next hour. Ed, I'm glad you called. We're going to get into the disco era, and in particular here locally, Fat City, an area of Metairie. That for those of you who are millennials or younger, for those of you who didn't live in New Orleans at the time Fat City was booming back in the 70s and I guess into the 80s, man, you have no idea what that was like. It was insane. And many of us are lucky to be alive. We'll talk about that and how something like that could never, ever exist today, which is really sad. So we'll talk about the disco era because it was on this day in 1977 that Saturday Night Fever debuted in New York City. Here is a text that says, you're right, Scoot. It's like people just want to be angry. Got to wonder what they're really mad about. I know, it's true. Here's a text on being right and wrong. Text says to me that I'm wrong and this guy's wife is always right. Well, you know, that's true. I mean, I've had a wife before, and yeah, they tend to always be right. All right, let's go to this break with a little levity. Here is another segment of Santa Claus and His Old Lady. And the truth is, she's kind of fighting with the idea of leaving. I mean, it's like she doesn't want to leave. The only reason she wants to leave, not because of what will happen if she stays. She doesn't want to stay because she's afraid of what everybody else will think if she doesn't leave. Isn't that sad? Here's an update on the Blue Runner Foods poll. A question, do you think nativity scenes should be allowed on public property? 77% yes, and 23% say no. Give us your opinion at WWL.com. Here's a text that says, a rock and roll disco night next Saturday, December 22nd. Wow, that could be fun. I'm going to have to remember that. Oh, here's a text. Fernwood Tonight, we just mentioned that TV show. God, that was a show back, I think, in the 70s. And it was a mock. Google it. Fernwood Tonight. And the text says it starred Martin Mull and Fred Willard. It was a classic show. It was a fake talk show. And they had a guest on who proclaimed that polyester that was worn during the disco era cause cancer in mice, that they put them in little polyester leisure suits, and it showed that the mice developed cancer as a result of wearing polyester. And there was stuff like that. And then I think there was this little girl called, I think her name was Baby Irene. Oh my God, I'm just getting great memories of that show. Fernwood Tonight, check that out. If you're younger and you don't remember that, check it out, because that was really a classic show. Here is a text that says, Scoot, I remember Fat City, especially the Spanish Galleon, I think, with those male strippers. Well, I don't remember that part of the Spanish Galleon. I remember the Spanish Galleon, but I didn't spend a lot of time there, and maybe that's why I didn't spend a lot of time there. We're going to talk about the disco era and how some of us are lucky to be alive. This is the day in 1977 that Saturday Night Fever debuted in New York. And in particular, I want to bring back memories of Fat City and how crazy Fat City was during the disco years. I'm Scoot. We're going to have fun in the next hour right here on WWL.